And it's the fourth week of the month. Summer's flying. Almost the end of July. We're in Kokomo with Mayor Gray. Good night. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Speaking of the warm weather we had last week, what a relief now. We're just barely making it into the 80s, and it feels wonderful, doesn't it?
Yeah, I actually took a bike ride last night, and it was almost felt like fall.
Feels like going to a baseball game.
Yeah, very nice. So almost football weather last night.
Yeah, well, and talking about some of this heat, though, I did see that you had some cooling stations available for people. So if those high temperatures were to pop up again, I assume the same situation would happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. We opened up our senior center, which is normally just for seniors, and we opened it up to the general public, and then it's not open on Saturday, and we actually opened it on Saturday as well to make sure people had at least a place if they need be to go during the day.
I don't know if I've heard correctly, but there with the heat, I know some cities are coming up with ordinances about pets and cars. I think Indianapolis just passed something. Is that something Kokomo is looking at too at some point?
We haven't had really. There may be some talk with members of the council, but honestly, they haven't shared that with me, and I don't think we've had any instances. That's one that I think we'll just kind of wait and see, and if we feel like we have to address it, maybe we will. But at this point, we haven't had any problems that I know of. So the
big news that kind of broke, and it was just right after I left, of course, the last time I was here, was about an $86 million Championship Park project, and it's a major East Side development. What, baseball, softball, and then millions of dollars of private investment. I think
yes.
I read about a possible hotel and some retail.
Yes.
So since this is our first time talking about this, I thought it'd be good for especially those who don't live in Kokomo and now hearing this for the first time.
Sure.
How did this come about?
This is something we've been back and forth discussing, trying to work out the details. It's like a lot of development. You have the initial discussion, then it gets kind of cold, and then it gets hot again, and maybe cold. And so it was. This is something we've been working on for quite a while, at least the preliminary pieces of it. But the developer is Steve Hinke, Hinke Development. They developed Grand Park in Westfield, and people. Geographically, when you look at Kokomo and our connection to Indianapolis, especially the north side, the Hamilton County suburbs, if you live in the south, on the far south side of Kokomo, you can be down at the Grand Park in about 25 minutes. So it's really close to us. And so this was, they looked at this as a natural extension or an alternative for them to utilize as a sports facility. So this will have four high school fields, think of what they call a quadplex, and then four minor league kind of youth baseball fields that will also be large enough that you can play high school women's softball. So we'll have two quadplexes and then all the other things, the restrooms, concessions, adequate parking, and then obviously to make this work, the developers wanting to develop some of the commercial area around it, so he's looking at possibly two hotels, some restaurants, and Steve Hinke has a great reputation of kind of a mover and shaker and making things happen. So we're excited about this. So we're starting to go through the redevelopment process and the rezoning, all those things, plan commission approval. Hopefully we'll start moving ground this fall.
So when you talked about Grand Park in Westfield and that it could complement that, is there any research or anything being done thinking, well, what about the opposite? What about being too competitive?
No, they actually, the people that we're dealing with, some of the people have been part of the management of Grand Park, and Steve Hinke was the developer. Actually, they think this will gives an alternative field and some other options. So they're actually thinking this will complement. That's what they believe. So.
I just read where the Kokomo School Corporation gave 10 acres to the city. So will the school use these facilities as well?
Yes.
Is that part
yeah.
of the deal?
And that's part of, yep, and we want our local youth to use this predominantly during the week, during the baseball and softball season. We want the fields available to the kids during the week. And then obviously some of our local teams will be playing there on weekends as well, our travel teams, things like that.
So then what part is, how much of this is private development and how much is the city doing to
this? I think this is going to be about $9 million of city investment and about $77 million of private development. And our the city portion will come through a creating a TIF district there, which will capture the taxes paid by that $77 million. So even if there's going to be some upfront costs by the city, but those will be taken care of, and eventually creating that TIF district will pay for that and then some. So actually, it will be creating that TIF district will be creating some revenue for that district.
And then is that money, that $9 million, that pretty much goes to what, like sewers and work like that?
Yep,
infrastructure.
The infrastructure, parking lots, the fields themselves, lights, you know, just to make sure it's a quality facility with the, you know, scoreboards, those kind of things.
So then who runs the facility? Is this part of the Kokomo Parks Department?
We're in that discussion right now about whether it will be managed by the Parks Department or we'll have a third party vendor. So we're in those discussions right now.
So basically the city is supporting this because it's creating an attraction which leads to more economic development.
Development, more tourism. You know, part of it, you know, keep in mind the Indianapolis metropolitan area, it's the largest in the state really, and anytime we can get visitors from Indianapolis, Hamilton County to come up and visit Kokomo, spend a day, spend a weekend, see the other parts of our city. We think it's good. We think we have something to offer, but you have to get them here as well. So this is just another way of getting people to come visit Kokomo. Mm-hmm.
I was looking at some of the, I guess, early proposed site map, and saw there is a residential area in that section. Is there any concern from those residents when you think about thinking about sporting events, lighting, lights, noise, traffic from those people there?
We haven't heard really any at this point, and we've had a couple of public meetings. We did reach out to a couple of the what we would call neighborhood leaders, people who obviously don't have they're not elected to be the spokesperson for the community, but people who have been who we've worked with on some different projects within the city, and gave them a little bit of a heads up that this was coming, and so far so good with the neighborhood support. I think they should be like most people should be happy that this is some private investment going in their vicinity. It gives them something to be attached to.
And then just last question on that, any timeline right now?
I couldn't tell you. If all things go well and we get moving pretty quickly in the fall, I think they can do some work over the winter and some prep work. I couldn't tell you the completion date of the entire project, and I'm not sure if they'll have all eight fields done at the same time, or if they'll be focused maybe on doing one quadplex and getting that completed, getting it going, and moving with the next, and when the first private development will start to move on. So I really don't have a timeline.
Yeah, and isn't there a memorial in that area too?
Yeah,
is that going to stay?
That's it. When we talked, this was really that was an important part of the discussion. We have a beautiful veterans memorial there, and it's one of the nicest probably in the Midwest. It's as nice as anything you'll see in Washington D.C. And that was the part of the park that we just could not touch and did not want to be a part of. So we're hoping that by these new visitors coming, that will bring a little more attention to that to that memorial itself.
Last time we were here, we talked about a new developer for the conference center, Vincent Dora of Dora Hospitality Group. And that was about a month ago. How is the transfer going, and are things kind of now moving forward?
Yeah, the interesting part is everyone wants their own personal touches, so there's some tweaking and changing and modifications, all those things. I mean, we're still at this point very optimistic that we can get things going this fall. But if you look at the work going on down in that area, down along the water, everything's going to tie together, and as I think I've expressed before on your show, that it never moves as fast as I want it to, and it seems like it always takes a little longer than we'd like, but yeah.
Well, and some of these tweaks are interesting. Last month we talked about a new parking garage that was kind of added to the project, but that was going to just be paid for by the city.
Through cash, yeah, through our cash reserves. And so, yeah, that was something. Part of the agreement was always to provide a certain number of parking spots, including that surface parking area now, which is just really directly west of City Hall. And, you know, as we've kind of, you know, the good side of this taking longer than we liked has enabled us to build up a little more cash reserves. So when we looked at this, we thought we could throw the parking garage in, which will not be specific to the Hotel Conference Center and the Auto Museum, but it'll be a public parking garage that will be able to be used by those groups as well as the public. So it's a win for not just this project, but really for the downtown.
Well, and the other things I read about, some public rooftop space, a little larger space for the museum. So there were some other things
that have
changed too.
Yeah, and in a good way. So we're hoping it makes it more of a unique project as we continue. So
and the funding mechanisms moving forward, the innkeeper tax jumped up from 5% to 8%. So that's approved by the Howard County Council,
yes,
right?
Yes, Howard County Council has already approved that. And to my knowledge, it's started.
July 1st, is that right?
I believe so. Yeah. I believe July 1st is when that was to take place.
And it seems like to some that might be a big jump, but then when you started looking at some of the other innkeeper taxes, I think Marion County's 10. That's Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, Marion County, our research showed that it was the highest at 10%, but there were five or six others that were at 8%, some others at 6%. And so that it gives statute gives the county council the ability to bump ours from 5% up to 8%, and they chose to go with the full 8%.
You know, I talk about this with mayors in the other cities because it's something how every mayor is working on some type of conference or convention center at the same time. Bloomington, Kokomo, and Columbus.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of the Columbus one, but I am familiar with the others.
Yeah, they're moving forward too. Yeah. So, but the interesting question is always, you know, conference center versus a civic center. The public sees something that is theirs, but because it's funded in part by public money, but then it's also a business. It's a convention center too. So do you find that fine line of, you know, a civic center versus a convention center?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I mean, it's a gray area. I understand that completely. You know, again, the whole point, and I'm sure with the other projects as well, as we have some very nice private conference space around here and kind of a banquet halls and those things. I think we have four or five that can hold, you know, hundreds of people. This one, well, you know, the whole concept is to make sure you have an adjacent hotel. That really puts us in a different game, and I'm sure the other communities as well, to have that adjacent hotel next to the conference center. The whole point is, you know, we're not going to get these 6 and 7 day conferences. These are small 2 day, maybe 3 day conferences of special groups. You know, maybe part of it, you know, tied with different Farm Bureau groups or just some of these, you know, individual trade groups within groups. And so we think that's the market we can tap into. And I'm sure that's what the others are looking at as well. And people like to move those around a little bit. There's nice things in a lot of Indiana cities.
More housing options coming to Kokomo. I read an affordable project just north of downtown. You had a groundbreaking per
yep,
se.
Official groundbreaking. And I actually went by there yesterday and the footers are poured. They're probably laying some of the block today, and it's under construction as we speak. And this is what we like about this. This was a little bit of a brownfield, so we had to do some remediation to the soil. It's along our industrial heritage trail, so this will kind of coordinating this project along the trail, this will allow, you know, the residents, once it's open, to utilize the trail, hopefully live a healthier lifestyle. That's what we're looking to do, is you know, make it easy to get on the trail, making it natural to get on the trail, and hopefully with that get some more amenities along that area. We just put in a splash and spray pad in within a block or two of that last year, and so that's the whole idea. This kind of help build one project on top of the other.
And I hear you're speaking coming up in Indianapolis. Is it Fort Harrison?
Yes, actually, on Wednesday. Wednesday I'll be at Fort Harrison, and I'm part of a kind of a group that was asked to come and meet with the White House staff on Opportunity Zones. That was part. Opportunity Zones came about with the tax bill that they passed a year or two ago. We, Governor Holcomb, designated parts of downtown Kokomo as that opportunity zone. So it's a chance for us to interact with White House staff. And I'm honestly flattered and honored that they've asked me to be a part of that. The Lieutenant Governor will be there and some a handful of other elected officials throughout the state, but it's a small group.
So what does opportunity zone mean for Kokomo?
Well, at this point, and part of what I want to go is kind of learn more of the details, but it allows investments to be made, and they get a special tax break by investing in these areas. And for us, it gives us kind of an extra tool in our toolkit to get that private development and kind of put dollars and revitalize and redevelop older parts of our city. So that's how we see it, and I think probably most cities do as well.
I see you tweeted a photo of you with IU President McRobbie about the partnership with the city and the university. I believe you received the letter, and you said you were surprised, but this is due to a new project that just completed over at IU Kokomo.
Not completed, it's under construction now.
It's still under construction.
Okay. Their new field house, and the city's been supportive, and now we've worked with them pretty much with most of their sporting teams utilize either the city tennis courts in Foster Park. We help partner to help them with their original gym for men and women's basketball and women's volleyball, and now their new the field house they're building on campus. We're very supportive of that, and even on some of the private student housing, kind of separate from the university but in close proximity to the campus, we've helped make that happen. And so it was very nice. They called the last week and make sure I was going to be in the office. They wanted to stop by. I really didn't know why. So it was kind of nice. It was a nice for President McRobbie to send a personal letter. Is very nice.
But also for Kokomo, IU Kokomo is very important to Kokomo as well.
Yes, and I feel like it has always been that way, but I really think our partnership over the last 10-12 years has been made it even more important. We realize how important that campus is and have tried to take advantage of it. And I think the campus realizes it's also important for us to work on revitalizing the city so when they have an opportunity for students to come here, they have a place that they can call home while they're going to school here and hopefully afterwards.
That was all I had. Do you have any announcements or anything else new that you'd like to add?
Yeah, we talked about the bike share. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, 4th of July weekend, we rolled out our Coca-Go free ride, which is it's our free bike share program. And what we've done is we've purchased about 40 bikes, a few variations. We have one tandem. Most of them are just adult adjustable bikes, and we have a few kids bikes and even a few tag-alongs for people that have their kids with them and they're not quite able or old enough to ride a bike on their own. And this is a free bike share program. It's open in the evenings and then pretty much all day on Saturday and Sunday. This is for visitors and our residents. So really all you have to do is have a credit card, hold the, to make sure we have some form so you don't just take the bike and some identification. And so we have entire families that are renting bikes for free. And it's very easy and they can take it up for 3 hours, just bring it back. If there's no one else waiting, you can take it out again for 3 hours. If there's somebody waiting, obviously you've got to take your turn. So it's been so far so good. It's been successful. And the whole concept is to you know, we have a beautiful trail system, and we have almost county line to county line, north south, and we have an east west trail system. This is where it intersects downtown, and it's trying to get people who don't normally or haven't ride a bike or haven't ridden a bike in a long time, get them out to on the trails, and then once they do it once or twice, maybe they see kind of enjoy it and go buy their own, and then that's what we're trying to do, is get people out, get them healthier, and get a little more outdoor activities going here.
So when you're through, they're not dockless, right? They have to go to a certain
just
point
back
when
to
you're
just,
done,
just
back
have,
to where
you have a small building. Yeah, we have a small building there, and we have employees that work there to kind of walk you through the process. It's real. I mean, it takes 2 minutes to sign up and get your bike and just all you have to do is sign and take it and have fun
and
come back in 3 hours. Yep, just come back to the same location, turn your bike in, and if you want to ride it again and no one's there, take it out again. So, yep.
And no scooters yet in
Kokomo. We do not have the motorized scooters, I'm okay with that.
Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.